This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Something going viral, and I thank my very attentive audience out there that sends me these things, and whoever that phone number is, 0243, last four digits. I want to thank you for pointing this out. Pull up my laptop, please, and check out what was on CBS this morning.
This morning, we focus on a growing backlog at crime labs nationwide that's leaving victims waiting for justice. A recent government report found the backlog for DNA analysis increased almost 85% from 2011 through 2017. Maria Villarreal got a rare look inside the Arkansas State Lab and spoke to one woman stuck behind bars because of the backlog. Maria, what else did you learn?
Well, good morning. You know, we met a woman in that was actually in a Georgia jail for about 3 months for possession of cotton candy. Police thought it was meth, and now she's suing. Her attorney says this was an injustice that was created by a crime lab backlog that could affect anyone out there.
On New Year's Eve 2016, Daisha Fincher was on her way to a pawn shop in Macon, Georgia with her boyfriend when they got pulled over.
Were you nervous at all?
No. No, because we wouldn't do anything wrong.
Dash cam video shows the pair calm and cooperative.
So when was the moment that things changed?
When he came out the back seat and said, "What is this in this bag?"
It was a bag of cotton candy. Fincher said it was left in the car on a humid night, turning the fluffy treat into blue crystals. Results from a roadside test kit identified it as meth.
I couldn't believe it. I wanted to cry, but I was like, this will be over in a minute. It'll be over in a minute. Yeah. I really didn't even think I would even go to jail.
Less than 8 minutes later, she was in handcuffs, charged with possession of methamphetamine with intent to distribute.
It still sits with you.
It does.
Her bond was set at $1 million, an amount.
Let me stop right there. What if that were you, Jay? What if that were me?
Right.
Our careers would be ruined.
Done. Yeah.
I don't know what this lady does for a living. But imagine she's a school worker,
right.
A teacher's aide, or a cafeteria worker, or a school nurse, something like that. She doesn't look like she's a school teacher, just judging by the way that she talks. But she could be someone that works around children. That's the end of her career right that minute.
Mm.
And by the way, a test, and this is the Georgia crime lab, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the story from CBS this morning. Good work on the story, by the way.
She couldn't even come close to pain. So she sat in jail for 3 months.
I was just always calling home and just telling them to please, please call down here and do something.
You wanted to get out of there.
Yes. It's been 2 years and I still get upset about it.
Was it the hardest time in your life?
It was. I missed a lot.
Desperate to get out, Fincher considered taking a deal before her evidence was even tested by the crime lab. Her attorney, James Freeman, says in Georgia, the testing process could take at least 3 months.
So there is a chance innocent people are taking these plea deals just to get out of jail.
It's not just a chance, it's a fact.
Fincher passed on taking that deal and was eventually released when the lab results came back negative for any illegal drugs.
So the backlog isn't just about cases like Daisha's.
It's not just drug cases. It's not just accused criminals. It's everything that needs to be tested by the crime lab.
But Georgia isn't the only state facing a growing crime lab backlog. CBS News has uncovered dozens of states are significantly behind.
And by the way, one of those states is South Carolina. They're showing here.
Illinois has a backlog of more than 23,000 cases. In South Carolina, it could take more than 9 months to get results back on DNA or firearms testing. In Idaho, some cases have been pending for almost 2 years.
A problem that can be solved by money that we have. That we have. This is inexcusable and it's inexplicable. I don't understand. We're better than this in Georgia. We're law and order people. The folks that are in charge. Governor Kemp has got to do better on this. And our state legislators have got to do better. I don't know a single one of them that have made this a priority, and damn them for not doing it. I spoke to Jody Lott 2 days ago. I need to get on her case about it. And maybe it's my fault for not being a pain in the fanny like I need to be. You know who I need to get on this?
Who is that?
Our wives.
Oh,
woo!
Oh, oh
whoa,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
they'd
yeah.
fix that crap in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? Woo! she get anything done.
Woo!
I mean, like, she stays on me like white on rice, man. Holy cow. Like stink on a, woo! We need to put Miss Rhodes in charge of this. Woo! Don't, wait, don't you look at me like that. I'm telling you, we need to, woo! This is unacceptable and completely unnecessary. Again, CBS This Morning piece, back to.
Is there a backlog here in Arkansas?
Oh, absolutely. This is all evidence that's waiting to go home.
Arkansas Crime Lab Director Kermit Channel says the problem escalated about 6 years ago, coinciding with the rise of the opioid crisis. In his lab alone, DNA and drug cases have nearly doubled since 2014.
They are more complex, and if we talk about a drug case, it's not simple marijuana. It's methamphetamine. It's fentanyl. It's heroin.
This is where it all happens.
This is the laboratory. This is where we have almost 28 chemists.
We were given rare access inside Arkansas's crime lab, where scientists carefully test each piece of evidence. It's a painstakingly meticulous process.
I can smell the evidence in here.
You can.
Downstairs is where all the evidence is stored.
Each of these boxes holds essential evidence inside them, important for a case. And in drug cases alone, there are 23,000 of them coming through the Arkansas Crime Lab a year. So in Arkansas, it could take over 150 days to possibly get that case in a position where they could take it to a grand jury or get an indictment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's concerning.
This isn't just an Arkansas problem.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, this is a national epidemic.
So Arkansas's crime lab, actually, or Arkansas's governor approved more funding for their crime lab, and the state will actually open up a new lab in July that should help. It's closely working with prosecutors to close out cases where a deal has been made, and they are now farming out some of this testing to private labs because they just can't handle this backlog themselves.
The number of people in America not convicted of a crime but still sitting in jail is appalling.
That is exactly what is happening here, and not in all cases, obviously, but clearly, they're trying to clear this backlog in the prosecution part of this and also in the evidence part of this.
I can't imagine what Daisha went through with $1 million bond on her, which she obviously couldn't pay. She was stuck. You say she really did almost consider that deal.
She knew she was innocent. It was blue cotton candy, obviously, and she just wanted to get out. She was so scared of being in jail. She's like, I'll just take this deal.
And that's what I keep focusing on too, Anthony, is Daisha's story, because it's all kind of levels of wrong. Number one, I don't understand why the bond is set at $1 million for that infraction.
You know, a lot of that had to do with the intent to distribute, and because it was the amount that they claimed they thought it was of meth, so that's a big problem. But, you know, a lot of people talk about the rape kit backlog. This is a byproduct. That is a byproduct of what we are seeing in these crime labs around the country.
Very important story. Very good to have you at the table and see you in person.
And that's from CBS This Morning, and hats off to them for doing this story. This is an abomination that can be fixed with money. The coroners, Mark Bowen and our coroner here in Columbia County, Vernon Collins, they need to ratchet up the noise and the heat on this. I don't understand it. I would be standing on my freaking desk screaming every day. I don't understand why the coroners don't get together and do this. Shame on them. Not just Mark and Vernon. I'm talking about every coroner in Georgia. Shame on them for not making this a priority. Shame, shame, shame. Text message from a friend of mine who works in the judicial system. Just got in the car, turned on the radio. What did the coroner do? This is the problem with getting little bits and pieces of the Austin Road Show. Our coroner in Richmond County, Mark Bowen, is a wonderful coroner. It's awesome. So is Vernon Collins, our coroner in Columbia County. The problem that I have with not just these guys, but every coroner in the state of Georgia, they ought to be standing on their desk every day demanding adequate funding and staffing for the Georgia Crime Lab. The piece that was on CBS this morning, CBS News This Morning, which I just played, it's a six-minute piece, but it was important for you to hear it. I think the woman's name is Maria. It's spelled in an odd way, M-I-R-E-Y-A. It's either Maria or Maria. Villarreal did the piece. I'm going to post it on the Austin Roadshow page in just a few minutes. You need to see it. It discusses the national backlog with crime labs in virtually every state of the union, but Georgia and South Carolina are two of the worst. And this has got to stop. This is a problem money can fix. And not we're not talking about $1 billion. We're not even talking about $100 million. We're talking about 10 or 15 million a year, which is peanuts when you take into consideration the importance of the work and the fact that you've got families who have lost loved ones who remain baffled and completely lost and despondent because they don't have closure. They don't know why their infant child died. They don't know if it was an accidental death with a teenager involving drugs or an allergic reaction to something. God knows what. I went through it in my own damn family. I know what it's like, and it ain't good. And there's no need for it. 6 months, a member of my family, the results didn't come back from her autopsy. 6 friggin' months. There are certain cases, and it doesn't happen, thank God, in heaven very often, but there are certain cases that I've had brought to me where there were individuals that died from natural causes, but because there was a doubt as to whether or not suicide was involved, death benefits were held up 6 months. That's beyond the pale. And again, these are tests that can be run the afternoon the material is brought to the lab if there are adequate staff members there to run the test. And all it takes is spending the money to hire the people. That's all it takes. Somebody told me the other day, well, you know, what happens is they get these lab techs in and they're making like $50,000 a year. And then a drug company comes by and pays them $75,000 a year. And then pay them $80,000, you schmuck. Write a check. Greedy sons of guns. What in the world? If your doctor was in the middle of treating you and says, well, you know, I decided I'm going to go over here and do something else because I'm going to get a little more money. Really? Well, what is it going to take, doc? You need to charge a little more. I'm happy to pay it since, you know, I'm laying here with a cut open knee that you're working on. That doesn't happen. You pay people. You take care of them. You give them what they need to live in the most important jobs you have. And then, you know, again, if the marketplace, somebody in Richmond County griping the other day about, well, our police officers aren't paid as much as Columbia County's, and so they go off and then pay them more. Write the check, you cheap sons of guns. We write the check in Columbia County. I guarantee you that. I see that bill coming every month. Don't mind it either. You know why? Because I want great cops on the job to be taken care of. Write the damn check. I have put a copy of the CBS News piece on getting the crime labs fixed up on the Austin Roadshow page where I'm doing it right now. And I introduced it here in my never-ending campaign to see the Georgia and South Carolina crime labs properly staffed and funded. I share this insightful report from CBS correspondent Maria Villarreal. We can fix this problem easier than any other important issue I know facing state government. Just write the damn check. I've advocated a $10, $15, $20 surcharge, or whatever it takes, on every fine and traffic ticket issued in the state. That should more than pay for what is needed to get these labs up to speed. And it really is as simple as that. They also need to take this, I believe, out from underneath the control, the budget control of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, because clearly they don't know how to run it. You don't. That's the last thing. You cut people, you cut investigators, I believe, before you cut that crime lab. You do whatever it frickin' takes to keep the crime lab staffed the way that you need to have it staffed. And again, if it's, you know, the market indicates that you have to have more this, that, or the other. In other words, you have to pay people more. You have to do whatever you have to, whatever it is you have to do to make things work. Then you succumb to market prices. And, you know, it's the oddest thing. If we just had this big stink about Mayor Hardy Davis requesting a hideously fancy and large SUV so he can drive his happy fanny all over the CSRA in style. And the reason, what ended up being the cost of that damn thing? $65,000 or something. Shop at Augusta Mitsubishi. Anyway, aside from that, the reason that they paid $60,000 for the damn thing is because guess what? That's what a SUV costs these days, unless you shop at Augusta Mitsubishi. But that's what it cost. And nobody said, well, man, you know what? Last time I bought an SUV, I ain't $35,000. I'm not paying $60,000. You know what you do? You go, damn, stuff sure has gotten expensive. Write the check. Because that's what you need. You need an SUV? Write the check. If you got to pay a lab tech $75,000 when you used to pay him $50,000, write the damn check. But I blame this on, and again, I love them. I love them. But they're meek people. I've never seen a coroner get mad about anything, politically speaking. They're always having a tiptoe around county commissions because they get local salary supplements from them. They always have to be nice to their state representatives because that's how they get raises, their state constitutional officers. So they don't want to step on any toes. Guess what? Time to step on the toes. Time to step on the toes. And I'm calling out Barry Fleming, Jody Lott, Lee Anderson, Mark Newton, Harold Jones. Get on this. Get on this. There's no reason not to.
Nobody wants a tax increase.
Yeah, all the BS crapple on a stick that my taxes go to pay for right now, move some stuff around. But if you can't, if you're not bright enough to do that, I've given you the out. $10. How many traffic tickets do you think are written in the state of Georgia every day? Hell, I bet you the ones that I've paid in my life, if you put a $10, $15, $20 surcharge on those things, that gets you half a technician for a year, probably. A little bit of a lead foot when I was a youngster. But give the most important public servants that we have what they need, law enforcement. Give them what we need. Give them what they need to do their jobs. It's the most frustrating and ridiculous waste of anything that I've ever talked about on this show. 27 years, this is the number one most ridiculous issue. But dirty politicians come and go. Crook politicians come and go. I have never seen an issue so important and so easy to fix that our elected officials just, what in the world do we have to do to get their attention on this? I tell you what we'd have to do. Let one of their family members die and let them wait 6 months on a life insurance benefits check while the mortgage goes unpaid. Let one of their children come up with some horrible, strange illness where they die mysteriously in the middle of the night. Yeah, we'll let you know what killed me. It'll be 5-6 months. In the meantime, you got other kids in the house. Is there something in the air duct system? Did the kid get under a cabinet and get a hold of something? Did the exterminator spray something that the kid rubbed up against that affected him in the wrong way? We'll have the results back for you 5-6 months. I would come across the damn table. My aunt, God rest her soul, I remember the conversation she had with the medical people. She said, you know, my daughter has died. I don't want to wait this. Who do I pay? You tell me. My aunt, money was not an issue. She said, you tell me. I'll write the check right now. You tell me. Who do we have to pay to get this done? No insurance involved. No, not waiting on a medical clearance, not waiting on permission from this company or that company. You have to go ahead to pay for something out of pocket or out of system or out of state. You tell me who I need to write the check to. Let's get this taken care of. I want to bury her, and I want to get this finished. And because it's an official state investigation, couldn't do it. Waited 5.5 months. Completely and totally unacceptable and needless. A dear friend of mine, a guy that I worked with in radio for many, many years, he's retired now. He posted 3 days ago, that his precious grandchild, 6 months old, been posting pictures of that kid all over the place. What a great, great joy. He's a little bit old to be a grandfather for the first time, probably like I'm going to be. But he was just so happy, as he's in his early 70s, that he was able to finally have a grandchild to play with. And he looked, kid died Sunday night, I believe it was. They have no idea. The initial autopsy, they don't know. So they've sent toxicology reports back, and it'll probably come back, sudden infant death syndrome, probably. But there's going to be a period, there was no sign of foul play. They won't know for months. That's up in New York. There's no excuse for this, none whatsoever. The lady in the piece that CBS this morning ran had a bag of melted cotton candy in her car. God only knows. My wife's laughing at the radio right now, because if you went through my car, God knows what you'd find in it. It was melted or deteriorated from months gone by. Probably a couple of science experiments under the back seat of the car. No drugs, but I don't know what it may look like. And it's hilarious in a ironic way that cotton candy did this lady in, because my son loves to get cotton candy when we go to the fair. And he notoriously leaves hunks of it in different places, depending on how diligent we are when we get out of the car, when we get home from wherever it was we've been. And I've pulled cotton candy, melted cotton candy, out of the back of my truck at least once that I can remember. And when the lady in the police tape, when they pulled out that bag, I said, yep, that's the same exact bag that Bo's cotton candy comes in. It's got that little fair decoration, that little carnival decoration on it. And it was crystallized blue. It looked like sugar, but it's because that's what it is. That's all cotton candy is spun sugar. But when you melt it down, it turns back into its crystallized form. And that lady sat in jail 3 months because the crime lab couldn't get to the sample quick enough. Unbelievable. Somebody sent me a note saying, well, what about the cops test on the side of the road? Those are imperfect tests. If they were perfect, they wouldn't need the crime lab. And obviously, there was a problem with that test. I wonder if that lady's got a lawsuit. I would certainly want one against that police department. But, I mean, wow, that's all because, again, the crime lab. What should have happened? That the instant that material was collected, it should have been bagged up and sent to a crime lab, and in 20 minutes time they could have told her and the police department what was in that bag. She spend one night in jail, maybe. You know, I'll give the cops a benefit of the doubt on that one. 3 months? No, that ruins people's lives, particularly innocent people who don't have two dimes to rub together anyway. And in a system, let's be honest, that generally speaking doesn't believe people when they say, I didn't do it. Because 99% of the time, you did it. At 1% of the time, it's a shit though, isn't it? Woo! 3 months in jail on cotton candy. I had a couple of folks emailing me earlier about what they can do to let their feelings be known on the issue of the crime labs. And I will tell you, you need to just let your state legislators know. And again, it's the easiest thing in the world. There's nothing controversial about this. The only thing controversial about it is that we have failed to hold the GBI leadership for years now accountable for their lack of attention to this problem. And, you know, if right this minute, a great example. Sheriff Roundtree, whether you like him or not, has made the case that his people need to be paid more. Now, I took issue with it simply because he made sure he got his money. He got his money before he'd been on the job 15 minutes. Oh, by the way, we got a note here. Traffic lights are out, Furies Ferry Road at Baston Road. And there are intermittent power outages, from what I'm hearing, all over the CSRA, depending on where you are. So use caution. We had our power wink here. Did you check? Were you by the break room during the news break?
Yeah.
Are the generators running?
No.
You know, those generators sound like rocket engines. When they, have you ever heard them crank up?
I haven't, but I'm glad I didn't because I probably would have ran through it.
No, I mean, they really, it's like a, it's like, I say a rocket, it's like a jet engine running out there. I mean, loud.
Oh, my goodness.
They're gas, natural gas operated generators that keep the building powered, but they normally take, you know, a minute or two to restore power to everything, or at least everything to power back up. Anyway, bottom line, thank goodness gracious, there are areas all over the CSRA that are doing without power right now. So God bless them. Just wanted to pass that along. What was I saying? The GBI. This has been a problem. When Sheriff Roundtree needed more money for his people, even though, again, he made sure he got paid first, no one on the left or the right argued with that. Because all of us want, number one, law enforcement men and women to make a decent salary. I mean, that's common sense. Number two, we want our communities to be safe. And I don't want a cop with a bad attitude. I don't want the best people leaving Richmond County to go not just to Columbia County, but Georgia State Patrol or South Carolina State Patrol or City of Atlanta or whatever it happens to be. And that has happened a lot in Richmond County for various reasons. But one of them is pay. And there's no way in the world that the most dangerous beats in the area, and let's be honest, the most dangerous beats in the area, there are more of them. I guess there are dangerous beats in every county, particularly Aiken County. Woo! Burke County's got some rough spots. I'd hand to heaven, and Sheriff Whittle's going to get mad with me on this. Is there a bad neighborhood in Columbia County? I mean, I know some are better than others, but I don't know of a single neighborhood in Columbia County that I would feel bad if my car broke down in the middle of the night. There are plenty of them in Augusta where I'd sit in my car shaking like a leaf with my gun in my hand. Oh, hell no, not here. Oh, hell no. Hey! Who's in that car? Minnesota Fats? That's who I am. I got Cher on the phone coming to get me, I swear. You don't look like Fats. I've lost weight. You're white. I'm sick. Got that Michael Jackson thing.
Oh, God, no.
I'm Minnesota Fats, I swear.
Oh, man.
Some neighborhoods you don't want to be, you know, late at night. Especially not Austin Roads. That's what I'm saying. Just me. Especially in front of Roundtree's house. I swear I'm Minnesota Fats. Oh, Tree knows what Fats looks like. Yeah, they, a lot of pictures together, those two. Anyway, wide lens. Get them both in the
seat. You're just digging deeper.
Anywho, God bless them. So, but I don't know of a bad neighborhood in Columbia County. I don't know of a single neighborhood where if my car were broken down or my daughter's car were broken down, my wife, you know, I would say, oh, that got to hurry. And some in Augusta, some in Burke County, some in Aiken County. Woo! You better hurry. But having said that, you would think that Richmond County would have the highest paid cops going. They don't. And do you people in Richmond County just not care? You pay for so much other crap down there. And here's the bad news. This is the dirty little secret. We're talking about Augusta politics versus Columbia County politics. In Augusta politics, the problem is not that they don't want to pay their people more. The folks that they're taxing are paying at such a high rate because there's so many folks down there that they're not taxing. Thousands and thousands of them live in absolute, either completely tax-free government-subsidized housing, or the values of the homes they live in don't generate any tax value. You know, if you live in a $100,000 house, you're going to pay X number of dollars. If you live in a $13,000 shanty, which there's plenty of them around, you ain't paying nothing. And, oh, by the way, where do they get the majority of the calls to? The $100,000 house neighborhood or the $13,000 shanty house neighborhood? Yeah. And there's a bunch of them in Augusta. There's some terrible. I had a friend of mine that was in the demolition business. And one of his, God bless him, he left town years ago because he said, said the people in Augusta didn't want to tear down their trash. They wait for it to fall in and burn. So he's in the Atlanta area. But there were neighborhoods in Augusta where when they would demolish a house that he had to make sure his crew, he would have to time their arrival. They would get there about 10 in the morning. And I said, well, don't, why don't you start earlier in the morning? And he says, no, you got to eat a big breakfast because there ain't no lunch breaks. I said, what do you mean there's not a lunch break? You're not leaving that site till you're done with taking anything valuable out of there. I said, like copper pipes. He says, oh, yeah. He said, you start on that job and you don't leave that job until all that's left is rotten wood and dog poop. And by the way, the dog poop better not look good because it'll be gone when you come back too. He said, you get there at 10 o'clock, eat a big breakfast. We ain't taking a lunch break. Get there at 10 o'clock and hopefully by 5 you got everything taken care of. And again, what's left you don't want because anything that you can possibly salvage out of that house, you best damn have it on the truck when you're pulling out. And don't leave the truck. Don't leave the truck. I want to listen to the radio. Don't leave the keys in the truck. Don't leave it. Where's the truck? See? Where's the truck?
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.